Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep. Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Friday, January 28th, 2022. A little deeper than usually I intend on Fridays, but you had a point, Pat, and I thought you were making a different point, and I want to clarify that because I don't think the Holy Spirit leaves anything to doubt or to chance, but I'll get back to that in a second. Luke 24 specifically and John chapter 20. Anyway. What were you saying right at the end of the last segment?
I said the prophet will just tell the truth. They have to tell the truth and make it just kind of like slice them up and leave them on the ground, and they're in a heap. And the pastor comes along and picks them up and dusts them off and says, "You're going to live."
Uh-huh.
That's the way I've heard it before, you know. And but the prophet has to say what he's going to say, because the two scriptures, if you see the sword come on the land and you don't warn people, the blood is on your hands. But if you warn
right.
them, and they steal, okay? So you can't blame the prophet for the saying the things. And I believe we have a corrupt prophet here nowadays. His name is Sadhu Sundar Salvarius. He's Indian, from India. He wears orange. I think he's trying to attract all those Hindus. and he has white, beautiful hair. And I believe he tells the truth. I mean, I believe he does. So I just wanted to make sure you weren't throwing all the prophets out, because, and I don't think you were, but... teachers too. I mean, I hear some people say, "Well, in one scripture it says you have an unction from the Holy Ghost. You know all things." And so
you sound really muffled. It's difficult to understand what you're saying.
And I think the phone fell over. It weighs a ton, and I have to talk into the end of it. It's crazy. I said did you hear about me saying I believe there's a prophet named Sadhu Sundar Salvarius?
Yes, and I know you've mentioned that. Yes, you've mentioned him before. Mm-hmm.
Not what I said after that. Maybe I should talk louder. you can't put people in a category because you don't know. Because there's... I'm not going by the Jehovah's Witnesses. They have something called Watchmen as well. But I do believe that there are a lot of watchmen. Like they had them in the walls back in the Bible days, and they had them all along the walls. And when the enemy was coming, one would say, "I think I see the enemy coming." He'd yell that to the next watchman, and maybe he's closer that way, you know, going that way. And have you ever heard of that, too? I don't know the
scripture. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't try to categorize anybody myself, but I guess one of the main things I wanted to say about the five-fold ministry. Oh, okay, another thing too. Sometimes people misquote scripture, and they say like, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Huh? I never heard that. But there, God has seven spirits of God. One of them is Spirit of God. One of them is knowledge, counsel, might, wisdom. I don't know. A lot of things are running through our mind right now, but there are seven spirits of God. Have you heard those?
And the point is what? We're jumping all over the place. I don't understand exactly what we're trying to accomplish here.
No, I'm not good at it. I'm not good at all this. And I just want to give people a clue like how they can look it up themselves, you know. Anyway, you were talking just about the big wiggly, weren't you?
You sound muffled, Pat. It's very difficult to understand you.
I'm talking right into the phone. Can you hear me at all?
That's better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's right up to my mouth. All right. You were talking about Zig Ziglar yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One day.
Yeah,
okay,
as an example of the selfish name it, claim it, you know, concept that is contrary to biblical orthodoxy. You can have everything in life you want if you just help enough people get what they want. That kind of thing. What is the motive? The motive is to get what I want.
Well, I think he stole it from the Bible.
Well, it's a perversion. Kind of like, you know, the concept of As a Man Thinketh, James Allen's book As a Man Thinketh, the concept is predicated on something that is actually contrary to what the premise of the Bible, or excuse me, what the premise of James Allen's book is. Or Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People does the same thing. It's tips, tricks, and techniques to manipulate people that are sort of loosely based on some biblical concepts, but it's an adulteration. And so in all of this, and in everything that you're pointing out, to me, I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and Paul saying, speaking of apostleship, you know, he says, for I consider myself not in the least inferior to the most eminent apostles. But before that, he says, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by this craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. That's it right there. In a nutshell. And then he says, for if one comes and preaches, hold on, Pat, hold on. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received,
right,
or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear this.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's going on. I mean, that's going on. You have to be careful about, you know, they just change it a little bit, you know, just a little bit. And you were careful today to say that you can't do what Billy Graham or Franklin Graham says, maybe another way to get there.
No. One way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it.
But there's something called the government of God. And it was the strength of the lion, the perseverance of the ox, the speed of the eagle, and there's one more. And so I think that's where those guys, Carnegie and all, they'll say you gotta have strength, you gotta have speed, you gotta have
again.
All this.
It's the mystical interpretation of things in the Gnostic tradition that is not plain, is not what Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians 11, simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. That's it. Just like Oswald Chambers observed, when it's not simple, maybe there's something that we're doing ourselves that is preventing us from seeing that simplicity.
Well, I have a lot of friends that way. You know, Paul himself even used the fact that he was a Roman citizen to keep out of jail. And he spoke five languages, right? Or something. So anyway, she wants to do is say, I'm going to be on the first load out of here. And she took the jab. I said, you may be on the first load out of here. I mean, you know what I mean? She doesn't want to know anything about anything going on in the world or nothing. That's bad English, I'm sorry, or anything. But, oh well, it's no need for me to even talk to them because they don't care. They don't care if Texas goes communist. They don't care.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your call, Pat. We're going to get back on track. We've unpacked quite a bit of stuff. So thank you.
All right.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.
As always. Again, Galatians, speaking of Galatians and the issue of Gnosticism and these kinds of, you know, the mystical traditions and interpretations of things. Again, Galatians 1, simple, you know. Paul says, I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him, capital H, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven, Paul says, even if we or an angel from heaven, anyone should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we've preached to you, he is to be accursed. And then he reiterates it. As we've said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, he is to be accursed. And so who gets the credit? Who gets the glory? What is the point of all of this? Again, contrary to the Gnostic tradition, contrary to the selfishness that we are steeped in these days, Galatians 1:10, next verse, For am I now seeking the favor of men or God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. There you go. And there's more, but I'll leave it at that. So, I mean, that's the distinction in plain and simple terms. So, and as far as the fivefold ministry goes, again, it's not complicated. It's simple. What is the point? What is the purpose of this? You know, and as far as I'm concerned, in simple terms, it's hands and feet, eyes and ears, that kind of thing. You know, many members, one body. It's one body. Again, that's a concept that's reiterated throughout the New Testament. And so back to Ephesians 4, you know, verse 11, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, some as teachers. Okay, for what purpose? Why? Next verse, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. That's why. Not so we can entertain and pursue mystical, selfish pursuits, which ultimately amount to, as John puts it in 1 John, walking in darkness, which is a different message. Probably we've been deceived by the same kind of craftiness, 2 Corinthians 11. And, you know, different message, different spirit, different gospel, etc. So hopefully that's clear. And for that matter, I guess to just sort of tie up loose ends real quick, speaking of the watchman and blood being on the watchman's hands, I mean, maybe that's kind of what this is. I see the danger in the commingling of these things in syncretist fashion. And so I'm announcing the danger. I guess, you know, if in the tradition of Ezekiel 33, if I don't, the watchman, then the blood is, you know, blood of those whom I could have warned and did not is on my hands, right? So, I don't know. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just, we're tying up loose ends. Things that Pat mentioned So that's Ezekiel 33 in the Watchman. But back to just to speaking of Gnosticism and the Docetism tradition that Jesus was just a hologram and, you know, help me, Obi-Wan, you're our only hope. To Pat's point, I don't think the Holy Spirit lets people wonder. So John 20 is Thomas, you know, doubting Thomas, handle me. But Luke 24 specifically, I think, addresses the issue. And so I'll just mention that and then we'll move on. I'll go back to the phones. So it's fascinating, you know, Chuck Missler, I remember Chuck Missler talking about Luke 24 and how, you know, God's sense of humor is demonstrated. So Jesus goes through death, burial, and resurrection. He's crucified, which, you know, to say that quickly is almost to breeze over something. You know, basically the most horrific death one could suffer. It's something that he doesn't, you know, relish per se. He's sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, if it's possible, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, yours. Which again gets back to the point of the last few days and this theme, whenever it reemerges, that as he said, I came not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And for the Christ follower, the same admonition applies with force. But his sense of humor, so this thing happens, all of recorded history sort of revolves around this one pivotal moment, so to speak, even though now there's a character that is trying to change times and laws, so to speak, which reminds me of Daniel 12, but whatever. You know, these are not the Anno Domini years anymore, right? We're not going to do that. It's the, we're going to change the way that we're going to change the calendar. Anyway, so this thing happens, it's a big deal, and in Luke 24, it says, behold, two of them were going, in verse 13, that very day to a village named Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling. This is after the resurrection. Began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? And so Chuck Missler says, you know, this is an example of God's sense of humor. Jesus says, verse 19 says, and he said to them, what things? And so, you know, they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, in the sight of God and all the people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so this thing happens, and they're like, man, are you the only guy in town doesn't know what's... And he says, what things? Anyway, the point about the food and pass it through the wall, Luke 24 also, I'll get to that, and we'll go back to the phone. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. All right, so to finish the story and then to the, back to the phones, Luke 24, after these guys have this encounter, fast forward, verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, Jesus, and he vanished from their sight. Well, that's because he's a hologram, Chris. After all, that's the Docetism tradition, right? Help me, Obi-Wan, you're our only hope. Wait, not so fast. So, verse 32, they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their own their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Okay, but was he actually eating? Continuing, while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, peace be to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. Why? Probably, again, John chapter 20, the correlation. Passing through the wall, like Pat said, their secret meeting, again, John chapter 20. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And so I mentioned that before. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. So hopefully that clears that up. Anyway, loose ends, all done. Back to the phones. Kathleen in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome. Do we have Kathleen?
Hey, Chris.
Good morning.
Hi. I missed a lot of yesterday. I was in and out, and then a lot of today. So I'm just going to tell you, anyway, the last thing you were talking about, the road to Emmaus, and I have a wonderful painting of those two men with Jesus at table by Velázquez. And that's one, I just love that story. Weren't our hearts burning? And anyway, so that's one thing. And then you said something about church, that you didn't want to have church. Well, I don't consider you a church. I consider it wonderful Bible study tying into what's going on to current events. And I would say to you, in my opinion, you shouldn't change a thing. And then yesterday you were talking about, what came up to my mind, you know, when people want to make themselves happy. The two prayers that I was taught was, "Thy will be done,"
mm-hmm.
as Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done," and "thank you." You know, and for if it be your will, I sure would like this. And I say that a lot about people, you know, God giving us peace among ourselves, because that's one of the hardest things, peace among people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's one of the most difficult things. But back to that prayers for things and for, you know, this lady. Now, she was going through a lot. This was a few years ago in Granbury, Texas, and her husband had just passed, and she and her son were moving to Fort Worth, and, you know, she was trying to sell her house. She was very distraught, but she told me that she found the perfect house, and that she actually put her hands on the house, and this name it and claim it thing.
Yeah.
And I remember being horrified, like it just seemed like incredible blasphemy that you could do something like that. And but, you know, it was not in my history with my family, but she was a wonderful person. She did not get the house. And the house she did get, she was very happy with, and things went well. But it's kind of the seeing people try to, you know, you try the best you can, but it seems like that's so provocative. You know, God will, God is always taking care of us, and thy will be done is good. So anyway, and then I would just say, I just wouldn't change anything about what you do. And I did tell you a few times about Dr. Shall I hang on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out the kosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Second hour already of today's broadcast is Friday, January 20th, 2022. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Okay, one thing before I continue. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to sound, I'm sorry if I sounded just like I thought I was superior to that woman.
No, because I don't think so.
Well, the thing is, my husband passed last year, and I remember my two prayers were, if he had a good day, thank you, thank you, thank you, and then please, please, please,
yeah.
You know, because I was hoping God would do a miracle, and he could have if that had been his plan,
mm-hmm.
but it has taken a long time for me to, at first I thought, well, couldn't you have done a miracle?
Yeah.
But now I really see how... God's plan was best, but it was very difficult. So when you're going through trauma, you know, that you can think different things. But anyway, I have mentioned many times about Dr. Lorraine Day and her book, Who Rewrote the Bible. And William Ratillam, who's a guest regularly on a guest host with Richard Carey, he's the one where I heard that she had a Bible study every Monday night at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And so anyway, and even somebody with low tech like myself, could, it's a Zoom call, and it's so wonderful. But she, and I have the book, all throughout that book, she's quoting Oswald Chambers. So I just thought I'd tell you that because you do quote him a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I thought I'd mention that. Okay, well, Chris, you're doing a great job. And I, it's one of my, besides Dr. Lorraine Day's Bible study, you're, that's another thing. So she talks about also not needing, God did not mean for us to have an interpreter. He's written the Bible. We're that she says about the churches that it's that we are the temple, each one of us, and God's temple, and serious Bible study and prayer every day is the main thing. So I do agree with that. So anyway, well, thank you, Chris. I really enjoy your program and am edified by it. And Pat from Texas sounded 1,000 times better when she put her mouth closer to the phone. As she said. So I just would say that too, because so many people that call in. In fact, Ron Avery, I've called into to Julie and said, could you tell Ron to fix his phone? Because he would sound very muffled too. And so anyway. Okay, well, thank you so much, Chris, and you're all in my prayers.
Thank you, Kathleen. Much appreciated. Much appreciated, as always. Yeah, I think Thy Will Be Done and Thank You is fantastic, you know, and I don't know. God can do miracles. Reminds me of Job. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And in the next verse, he says, he also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Loose ends, I guess, you know. Well, you know, and speaking of Thy Will Be Done, I mean, Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount. I mean, Jesus himself said it, if he said it, and he said things, you know, similarly, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Or, you know, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, that kind of thing. So if he says, pray then after this manner, then maybe that's not a bad idea. Talks about the, you know, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't go stand out on the street corner. Go into your secret closet. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That's interesting. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be like the hypocrites, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. In secret, in secret, in secret. And what does he say? Again, in secret. And he shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, etc., etc. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. Anyway, if that's, you know, that's what Jesus says, it's probably not a bad idea. So, other loose ends, the fear of the Lord, something that Pat mentioned also, I want to get back to this other stuff. Get back to that in a minute. We'll go back to the phones before that. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7 is to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13 is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 prolongs life. Proverbs 10:27 is the instruction for wisdom. Proverbs 15:33 And also, speaking of Job, there's Job 28:28 where Job puts it pretty succinctly, and that whole area of Job is pretty interesting. Speaking of trials and tribulations and things, in chapter 29 and 30, is he tooting his own horn? What's going on? You got to keep reading. Anyway, Job 28:28, and to man he, capital H, said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." So I'll leave that at that. Actually, last word, Hebrews 12, you know, speaking of so the fear of the Lord, I would say, like the healthy fear of our earthly fathers that we used to be raised with before Dr. Spock and friends, it instructs us in wisdom, prudence, sound judgment, that kind of thing. Contrary to the Bernaysian propaganda leading us astray, influencing behavior and actions, as Bernays said. So Hebrews 12:11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Speaking of peace, therefore be strengthened. But, you know, backing up before that, verse 7, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And this verse, I think, really, speaking of the literal interpretation of things, I mean, to ruminate on this in today's America, but if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Do we have the discipline of our fathers these days? If not, are we illegitimate children? Furthermore, verse 9 says, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. Anyway, the distinction, and there's, you know, the Oswald Chambers entry for January 28. Get back to that. To the phones, though, for now. John in New York, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Morning, John.
Thanks for your efforts. I had an experience. You were talking about Nicholas Warwick yesterday, and I met a disciple of Nicholas Warwick some time ago, and you know, the guy pretended to be a guru type person, and then and the whole thing crashed and burned, and it was abuse and using people for sexual pleasures. And then it mentioned the metaphysics of the sexual metaphysics or something like that yesterday, mm-hmm. which I thought was a kind of a sales point of the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to mention that I think that these people that you mentioned in a historical context still have lines in the river fishing. And, you know, there are people who are affected by these people to this very day. And you often talk about Bernays and the advertising promotion, and I just wanted to call your mind to the fact that the promotion of Christian thought is not so pronounced in our culture these days, and there's a special kind of ego that promotes Christian thought on mass media, and I think real Christian thought is kind of a personal interaction. I just looked up an old pastor of mine, and he had passed, and I noticed that he spent a lifetime of mission, and there were only six people on the funeral page making comment, and it seemed like such a tragedy to me that this man had spent his life in service to human souls, and there was barely a recognition of his passing. So I just want to throw that out. If we can't talk about Christian thought, we do it to be politically correct, and there will be no growth in the spirit of our nation, of our world, and of ourselves. So I appreciate your efforts.
Well, thank you. And thanks for the call, John. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome. In the interest of time, back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was interesting. You're talking about the model prayers, as some people call it, the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on who you ask, the Lord prayed in a different place, you know. When he asked, I guess, in the Garden of Gethsemane to take the burden from him.
Mm-hmm.
But, Latter-day Saints or Mormons, missionaries used to, I don't know if they still do, they really hit upon the structure of that prayer and taking it apart and saying that all the prayers should be modeled after that prayer. A lot of people call it the model prayer. But I think it dovetails very well with some other concepts, like you don't even have the power to change one hair black or white. Who are you to swear an oath, right? Swear not at all. That's pretty darn simple, and our culture is just so steeped in oath swearing. How do you get through this culture that we're in and avoid swearing oaths? I mean, they've got this thing. They try to say you're doing an affirmation or something, but it's basically the same thing. It's hard mm-hmm. to file any court documents or whatever. So, you know, when you were talking at these people honor me with their tongues, but then they won't do what I say if they call me Lord, Lord. You know, they should be following what I'm doing. Or what I'm, simple stuff, right? But see, be deceived not from the simplicity that is in Christ. And, of course, that prayer, when you do take it apart, it is very similar in structure, but there's a couple of key elements missing from the Book of Mormon, which I thought was interesting. You don't ask for his kingdom to come, and you don't ask for your, daily bread. I think it's 3 Nephi chapter 13, maybe, where that equivalent of the Sermon on the Mount is given in the Mormon church. I always had a real stumbling block on that to get past that. And, of course, they try to say, well, his kingdom has already come, so you wouldn't ask for it if he's already in his kingdom and his kingdom has no end. But then why wouldn't you ask for your daily bread?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's two versions, the version in Luke and, the version in Matthew. They're structurally the same, even though the wording is a little different. Now, to me, since we are the temples, as the previous caller, the woman said,
Kathleen.
Kathleen. We should ask for thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. I think in is important there because we are, thug, beat your chest, we are in earth. We're made from the earth. Thus we will return. So we're asking for his will to be done in our temple, not on the earth. I think that's kind of ominous if you're asking for his will to be done on the earth. The earth should be judged you know, it would be coming under judgment. So it's a real subtle thing there when you think about it, but I think it would be more like his will to be done in earth as it is in heaven, as opposed to some people say it on earth, and I don't mm-hmm. think that's really correct. And, you know, in the Greek or translations or whatever, they go either way.
Yeah, it's an interesting distinction, and probably what I would probably call like a Romans 14 kind of an issue. Each man must be fully convinced in his own mind. It's one of those things where...
Yeah. Well, I really look for fulfillment, too, because I believe everywhere you can find it, it increases your faith. I hear the music. I'll let you go.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mike. Much appreciated. Stick around, folks. Final segment coming up. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's broadcast is Friday, January 28th, 2022. So, Romans 14 issue, you know, each man must be fully convinced in his own mind. Let not what we do be a stumbling block to another. And, you know, that's the, it's sort of an upwardly mobile sort of concept for the building up of the, you know, body of Christ, one another, all that kind of stuff. And really kind of the, I think the operative concept is like, you know, the idea throughout the New Testament of the distinction between the, or the juxtaposition of the letter versus the spirit, kind of. Romans 7, verse 6 specifically, you know, so that we serve in newness of the spirit, not in oldness of the letter. And you just sort of think in a legal sort of context, you know, if I'm operating by the letter, I can probably find some loopholes. But if I'm operating by the spirit, then I'm not even looking for loopholes. Anyway, to conclude, Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, January 28th entry. But it is hardly credible that one could so persecute Jesus. He quotes Acts 26:14. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This is interesting stuff. Speaking of the distinction between the authentic and the counterfeit, he writes, am I set on my own way for God? We are never free from this snare until we are brought into the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Obstinacy and self-will will always stab Jesus Christ. It may hurt no one else, but it wounds his spirit. Whenever we are obstinate and self-willed and set upon our own ambitions, we are hurting Jesus. You think of Zechariah 12:10, John 19:37, Revelation 1:7, those kinds of passages. Every time we stand on our own rights and insist that this is what we intend to do, we are persecuting Jesus. How does that square with our American experience? Whenever we stand on our dignity, we systematically vex and grieve his spirit. And when the knowledge comes home that it is Jesus whom we have been persecuting all the time, it is the most crushing revelation there could be. Is the word of God tremendously keen to me as I hand it on to you, or does my life give the lie to things I profess to teach? I may teach sanctification and yet exhibit the spirit of Satan, the spirit that persecutes Jesus Christ. The spirit of Jesus is conscious of one thing only, a perfect oneness with the Father, and he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. All I do ought to be founded on a perfect oneness with him, not on a self-willed determination. That'll do it for today's God broadcast. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.